Ekaterina Bigos joining us here for the program. Take a closer look at markets. Ekaterina is CIO of Core Investments, Asia ex Japan at AXA Investment Management. So we've been hearing that more and more fund managers, Ekaterina, are getting positive on Chinese equities for next year. I raised the question a few moments ago of how much of that is already discounted in markets, because we have seen some gains of late, particularly for Hong Kong. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, good morning, Brian. Thank you for having us. Clearly, I mean, I think there's a positive sentiment on China, and China may prove to be countercyclical to the global growth slowdown, as we see the developed markets and emerging markets in other parts of the world seeing a slowdown in economic growth. And now this subject to clearly China opening up, and this is a condition that has been reiterated by many sell-side analysts and by ourselves, is that certainly China can achieve their growth potential, but they do have to open, or the reopening has to be successful. And as we talked in our views this year, or the forecast for next year, we see China opening the economy in kind of three phases, as you might say. First, they will focus on getting the public medically and mentally ready for the change. And we've seen progress in that space for China moving towards, supporting the population medically with high vaccination rates. And certainly we focus around the elderly vaccination of elderly population. Then the phase two, as we see it, will be emphasis of reopening the domestic economy by easing the social and mobility restrictions. Certainly the onshore consumption in China is very powerful. So a rebound of that consumption next year clearly can be providing a positive support for China economy. And the final step we see it is the China opening the border for the rest of the world. And we see that happening subject to the other two first steps being successful. We see that happening in the second part of the year of 2023.
Okay, as you just mentioned itself, that what we have is a situation where we're going to be having road bumps in this reopening story from China. And that could really also be a headwind, naturally. But it is amazing how much about 6 weeks makes in terms of how people have just turned sentiment, in fact, shorter period than that, turned their sentiment towards China. So what do you actually look at if you do think it's going to be counter-cyclical?
Yeah, and you know, apart from the reopening, I think that's a key condition for China achieving at least the 5% growth that a lot of the sell-side analysts expected this year, but certainly there are going to have a growth below that trend. We expect around 3% growth for this 2022. They have the potential to go to 5% next year, but one of the key elements is that reopening, or successful reopening, allowing for all the fiscal and monetary stimulus that have been put in place in China to filter through the economy or transmit through the economy in a successful way. And then beyond the, let's say, China reopening excitement, there's elements that investors have to look at, things like the housing market downturn, and we've seen certainly a correction in that space, and certainly what the government will do to support that sector will be very important. The globalization is one of the elements, technology restrictions that we've seen put in place this year, private sector policies, and certainly aging population, which are more structural trends that are certainly going to press on China growth going forward. So there's certainly that element, short-term, if medium-term, excitement around the opening, and there's more long-term elements that that investors have to look at when we assess China as an investment opportunity.
So to what extent, Ekaterina, do you think that China reopening and moving forward will exacerbate the inflation problem globally? I mean, here central banks, particularly in the West, have struggled to bring inflation, at least to get it seemingly topping out. Now you have China, which has got a lot of pent-up emotion, perhaps adding to those issues.
Yeah, and the inflation hasn't been an issue this year, as we know in China. In fact, it's below trend, despite all the support that we've seen from monetary and fiscal stimulus due to the restrictions on mobility, restriction on kind of the velocity of money that's been put in the economy. And as we see next year, we'll look, as I said, the first step, the first step will be getting the population ready. Second is reopening the economy internally, which we hope to support the consumption and will create some level of potential inflation, but that's coming at a very low level, from very low levels. So there's a lot of room to run for inflation in China. So it's not a concern for us as of yet. And as I said, the third step will be the China reopening to the global economy. So we don't see this happening very swiftly. As I said, there'll be likely to be a bumpy ride with some elements of monitor around the infection rates and potential risks of the economy closing down again. So if there's any risk of inflation, it will be certainly an element that needs to be put or monitored the second, if not towards the end of 2023. But at the moment, it's not an imminent risk. Certainly, the monetary policy and fiscal policy has room in that regard to move a little bit more next year to support that economic rebound for China.
Ekaterina, while people were thinking at one stage that China was not investable, there was a large amount of money which went toward India. Does it stay there? And if it doesn't, and if it does stay there, where else does it go in Asia as well?
Yeah, and there's other parts of Asia, and as I said, with China, there's that element of excitement of reopening post-COVID. There's a lot of pin-up demand. There's a lot of pin-up investment, if you might say, sitting there to be deployed. But beyond that excitement, there's structural issues that need to address. Places like property, as I said, there are concerns and some elements that we need to look at in terms of the globalization, what the impact is, technology restrictions. The private sector policies, as I mentioned, an aging population. And the aging population has repercussions on places as well, like property, the property demand and the structural dynamics on how that market will evolve in 2023 and beyond. So there's certainly elements where investors have to look at this short-term and long-term trends. And with regards to Asia, if you look at China, the growth will be, as I said, we expect for 2022 to be around the 3%. And this is pretty much the consensus. If you look at Asia or broader Asia, the growth, as quoted by the World Bank, is expected to be around 5%. So it's the first time since 1990s that China is actually below trend of Asian growth. And when it comes to Asia, the pin-up demand has supported the economy or economic velocity in other parts of Asia to bring that region above that Chinese growth in 2022. And places that we see still continuing to have a positive momentum in 2023 are places that are relying to more internal demand rather than exporting economies. So economies that are relying on exports to develop world particularly are expected to see somewhat a weaker growth in 2023 because we do see a deceleration of growth in developed markets. Economies that are open for tourism, places like Thailand, certainly Japan, if you look more broadly, and places like economies that are energy exporters rather than energy importers, I expect it still to do better in 2023. So again, the three kind of pillars, if you might say, whatever they're exporting economies or internal demand consumers, or if there are energy importers or exporters, and certainly tourism is another element that investors need to look at when they're assessing their investment opportunities.
Ekaterina, thank you so much. Ekaterina Bigos, the CIO Core Investments at AXA Investment Managers, getting her take on the markets, particularly for Asia. This is Bloomberg.